Thank you for joining me for today's webcast. It is September the 7th, Saturday afternoon here in Los Angeles, California. I'm Pastor John Coleman in the Lucy Coleman Studio, your radio host for this next webcast. In a world of professing Christians, we as true Christians, must live in a way that is a dignified and speaks of following our Lord. Not speaking of following church tradition and the things that make for emptiness, wantonness, but things that make for wholesomeness. So how do we survive in a society of change that has overwhelmed us? Well, one of the things that you don't do is you never compromise yourself within that society. But what you do is you embed yourself as a true believer in the midst of that society in such a way that everyone that understands this embedding process is caught up in it. They understand it in ways they get caught up with you. Here's some other information that I've discovered. I've discovered that the younger generation who ignores the idea of God sees God as something as a tremendous threat out there that would maybe grab them or cause them not to be as freer and progressive to go forward. Let's talk about that a little bit. I want to read from, I think, a very familiar text to Christians. It's from Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore I, Paul writes, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. With all, now here's where my difficulty comes in. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. Oh, that's a hard call. That's a hard call. When a society of change is overwhelming you, how do you live that way? That's what we're going to discuss for this time on the webcast. I want to thank you for being part of this, coming to the website. How do I do it? As a believer in God, as a believer in moral things, there's certain things that are moral, certain things that are immoral. You know, I think one of the hottest things on the table today is sex. Because everybody's talking about sex and how sex is being handled in our society. And I'm telling you, it has been a massive change from the world that I was growing up in. I mean, everything is out there and open. Everybody talks about it freely. We've had to develop some rules around my home here. And I tell some of the guys, as a matter of fact, I was out the other day. And I was a third person sitting in a car. I think that there were four of us in a car. Something happened, and it was pretty horrific because they were speaking about a group of individuals, laughing about them and taunting them. And of all the men that were in the car with me, I wasn't responding in the way. This is the way you respond in a world of change. I wasn't responding in any way towards that group of people in a very negative way. I used to respond in a negative way like that, but I don't do it anymore. And I was speaking with one young lad about why I don't respond to that, because each of us have proclivities to be something. And so when these guys had attacked this whole group of people and was cutting them down because of their thoughts and their activities, well, it hit me. And I didn't say anything. And it was as if the men were waiting on me to respond to it. I was just looking out of the window, kind of this glazed look. And one of the guys in the back seat was looking at my reaction. You know, a lot of people do that all the time. They always look at my reaction and they try to get a knee-jerk reaction out of it. I don't give that anymore. I just when blank, I didn't respond at all. After a few seconds, the harassing stopped. They weren't harassing me. They were harassing other people. They were saying, "Isn't that so?" and tearing the other group down immorally and laughing about it. And that's what people in the hood do. Everybody in their own individual hoods do it. But I'm a prisoner of the Lord, and I've been implored by God to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I've been called. I had to humble myself. I had to be gentle with patience. I had to show tolerance for these men, and I had to love them. And now look at verse 3, because verse 3 really identifies in a real way what else I did. Because verse 3 says, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what I was trying to do. We were unified as a group of men there. And they all know who I am and what I do. And they know that I won't jump on the bandwagon and start tearing down one group of people because I may disagree with their lifestyle. I don't think that's what God told us to do, not even as Christians. He did not tell us. He did not ask us, nor has he ever prescribed us to do something as raunchy as that. And there's an awful lot of people that do that these days. They feel like they have to tear down other people to justify themselves. And this tearing down process is one that can destroy people. You know, you've heard about these gay kids in the schools jumping off of bridges, killing themselves and everything because of their sexuality, you know, and how people bully them. Well, I don't let anybody bully me. I mean, I just tell them, you know what I do is I tell people who I am. I tell people, this is how you can get out of being bullied. Tell people who you are. And you don't have to tell them why you are. Tell them who you are. Tell them who you know you are. If you have thesis, you know who you are. You know how long you've been that, how long you've thought that way. See, I don't vote. I'm neither a Republican or a Democrat. I'm neither. I'm not liberal or conservative. I'm neither of those things. Those are iconic. Now, what can I say? That's the way people try to identify other people. You have to identify me by knowing me. There was a song that came out when I was a kid, sung by some women, I guess, and it said, to know me is to love me. To know me is to love me, just to say you're there, just to show you care. All that kind of stuff doesn't mean anything. Gotta know the individual. Now, once you know the individual, what is it that you have grown to know and to love? And how are you responding to that individual? When I meet a lot of these young men out there, I got to have some patience, some tolerance. I got to strive for the unity and bond of peace because most young people think that I am not a part of their civilization. I am not a part of their lifestyle because of who I am, how I think, in the age bracket that I'm in. But how do we become one with this group of people for the sake of bringing them to this idea of God? I recall a couple of nights ago, I was having a discussion with some folk and they were talking about this mad. So Pastor Rima knows what I'm talking about, that when they talk about this mad use of women by these young men, and I try to tell them, yes, you can do that. You can do that. I said, but that makes you morally despicable. I doubt if they knew what the word despicable means, but they have their little iPhones. And as a matter of fact, I just recently bought an iPhone. I think the 1.5, I don't know how to use it yet, but transferred all my numbers and it's amazing. I can go to my website on there. I can listen to sound clips. I mean, I'm trying to upgrade. I'm still working. I'm trying to upgrade. I got to get my site in order. I got to straighten it up. All those things that were on there before, they'll eventually return, but they're going to return in some kind of semblance of order. I'm trying to pull some things together. some people have been thinking that I was going to shut down the site. And no, I'm not going to shut it down because Pastor John is still alive. I still have my druthers. I have my views on what's happening in the so-called evangelical church. Corrupt people that they are. It's the blind leading the blind, really. But, you know, I'm not going to keep hope alive. I'm not a Jesse Jackson type of guy. I'm not an L. Sharpton. Get behind an iconic figure and push it and hope that it'll go somewhere. The iconic figure that I place myself behind is a historical figure of a man named Jesus, if you will, Jesus, in the first century, who was an itinerant preacher, who was a sage of some sort, that said, love them that hate you. Do good to them that despitefully use you. Let no wicked communication proceed out of your mouth. It doesn't mean strong language. I do use strong language, and I'm going to continue to use it. Sometimes that's the only language that these clowns in my environment understand. When you tell them, get out of my face, man, they aren't going to get out of your face. When you address them in the name that they're appearing as, they see that you're serious. And I'm telling you, I've had a few times since I have been a Christian pastor here in the past year or so where my temper was enraged by some of these unregenerate people. And they can bring you into a state of disharmony. Know that. And they know exactly what they're doing. You have to be the wiser not to fall for that. So, the Society of Change has overwhelmed me. Yes, I am overwhelmed by it. But I have a Bible verse that says, therefore, I'm the prisoner of the Lord. And so I've been implored by God to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which God has called me. And he called me all the way back in August of 1967. I'm not going to go back on that calling. So with all humility, in other words, I'll just bite my bottom lip with gentleness. I'll understand that they're younger than I, that they haven't lived as long as I, they haven't come into certain world theses as I have. I have to be patient. I have to show tolerance for all these people with love. I tell you, I met a Christian man, a friend of mine. I would just call him John. And I met him a while back. He was working in one of the Sprint stores in Culver City. I struck up a conversation with him. He's going to Talbot Seminary. As a matter of fact, working through the apologetic grad things. And I came to find out as I went to get the new iPhone that he was a manager in the store that I went to, not in Culver City, but in another store. We began to talk, and I pointed to the young men that were with me, and I said, do you recall when I was telling you what God was moving me to do? And he said, yes. And I said, and do you recall when I was sharing with you that I told you that the evangelical church, with all this, is not making any headway into our community doing anything? And I said, these two men that you see me with, both of them have stayed with me for a little bit in my home, live with me. He saw the guys. The guys are tatted up, street wild, street hip, not talking like evangelicals at all. I said, these are the people that I minister to. These are the people that I spend my time parlaying with. And I told him, I don't spend my time talking with people in the church because that's not where my heart is. That's not where the activity needs to be pointed. It needs to be pointed outside of the church, outside of the walls of the church. Outside of that program, outside of those same old things that you do, the Men's Day, Women's Day, Usher's Day, Choir's Day, Pastor's Day, Pastor's Wife Day, okay, you know, Family Night of the Church, all that. You're avoiding You're avoiding it. And do you know what John told me? When John finally understood, because I hadn't spoken to him in well over a year. I think he was getting ready to have his first child, and he told me that he had his second by that time. So it's been a while since I'd spoken with John. And I was very impressed with him because he, being an African-American, being articulate, attending Talbot, the same grad school that I attended. Well, of course, I told him, I says, John, I'm dying. I'm getting old. You're going to be here longer than me if the Lord is willing. And I said, I need someone local here, trained, educated. But I told him, you've got to love this next generation. You can't just put your energies in people that are in the church, because they're a lost cause. They aren't going to lift their fingers to help anyone. I had someone visit my home from Chicago this week, and they brought their son with them, 19-year-old son. And I found, as I was fellowshipping with them in my house, I was telling the parent, I said, you leave this boy alone. This boy is going to grow into a man. You just make sure you give him the rights and the wrongs of life. Let him know where life is going to lead him. I said, he has his ideas. He is not going to adopt ours. He's going to adopt his own, because he has to survive in a world that we're going to die in, and he has to know how to survive in it. He's 19 years old. The kid gets around on his skateboard. Yes, he travels with that crew, and he dresses like them. His swag is, hey, the skinny jeans, the skateboard, and all that kind of stuff. He has a college education. Hey, he's doing it like he's supposed, but he is not going to follow the path of his parents the way that they did, because they are a far different generation. That's why I got this iPhone, because I have to try to keep up with them. I can't keep up with them. You know what? The reason that I went to get the iPhone is one young man looked at my phone and he laughed and he said, what is that? And I said, what do you mean it is? It's my phone. And he says, what do you do with it? I said, I can go to the internet. He says, no, not like, look at mine. And then when he showed me, I said, oh my goodness. Now, I didn't compromise myself. I had to step it up. That's what some of you Christians out there need to do. You need to step it up. If I can help you that way, you need to step it up. Because if you don't step it up, nothing is going to happen. You're not going to see yourself as being a progressive individual. You've got to step it up. And in stepping it up, you'll understand that in a society of change, you will not be as overwhelmed. Why? Because you're looking at, again, you're looking at Ephesians 3 and 1. You're looking at that verse. All right? And if you really don't, 4:1, I'm sorry, 4:1. And if you don't understand that you're a prisoner of God. Now, he has me as a prisoner in this jail that I'm locked in Los Angeles, in this country, in this hemisphere, on this planet right now. I want to be an active part of it. See, I can't shut my website down because I'm no longer a practicing pastor preaching sermons. Oh, I still give Bible studies to the people that want to show up. And last Wednesday, the Bible study was packed. So if people want to show up, fine. But you know what? The reason that it's gone down is because I tell people who I am. I say, this is the way I am in my heart. I don't play with who I am, what I am in my heart. I'm not trying to be what nobody else wants me to be. I can't help because of who I am. I'm not going to try to change who I am. I don't want to be like anybody else. I want to be like me. Okay? I looked at a set of books in my shelf on the library out of my office because, you know, I want to dissipate some of my commentaries. I want to give some of these things to younger preachers. But, you know, I'm having difficult, and I have given some of my cherished commentators away, and books away to people that needed some books. And when they come by my home, I say, well, I think this book will help you on God and this and that if you want it. And I've even given away a lot of my John MacArthur commentaries. I no longer care for the guy the way I used to when I was a younger Christian because of his ambiguity. I can't do that. And everybody, you know, I was on my YouTube mails trying to catch up on my YouTube emails that they send me. And one woman didn't like the Mac check that I did. And she said, Dr. MacArthur's been ministering for 44 years and there's nowhere in the Bible that says that you have to remember the date that you met Christ. And, you know, when I read that letter, I said to myself, that's the crisis that the church is in. Because who was it? Was it Paul said that I know on whom I believe, and I believe that he's able to keep that which he's committed into my care until that day, quote unquote. If the Apostle Paul knew upon whom he believed, and John MacArthur says he doesn't even remember or recall the day when Christ even came to him and spoke with him, well, what does that say? That speaks volumes. A lot of people can do this Christian stuff intellectually. Do you understand me? You don't need to be born again. All you need to say is, hey, I can make some money doing this. What do you think the pimp preachers are doing? What, did I just bescathe MacArthur in that avenue of pimpology? If he doesn't know when he met Christ, I am. And if you don't like it, you can join him. You don't know when you met Christ, you join him. I know when I met Christ. That's why I can't shut down my website. Do you understand it? Because he told me, you will tell them whatever I tell you to tell them. Now, he didn't tell me to shut down the website because the society has changed, because the culture's changed. To hell with that. Excuse my French, but I'm just trying to let you know how serious I am about this situation. As long as I have breath in my lungs, as long as I can think properly in my mind, as long as I can admonish people to love the way that Christ loves, I'm going to do that. And I'm not going to follow some dead, antiquated, out of date, out of touch with everyone. I remember, man, come on. I'm thinking about the Styles. I remember when the Styles of the skinny jeans came out, my associate pastor Sean Nelson said he'd never let his boy wear that. He said it's crazy these boys, but everybody's wearing skinny jeans now. Matter of fact, I was out. I was going to look at me a nice pair. I was going to go to the beach one day, and I didn't want to wear. I wanted to wear some of those skinny jeans. It's kind of nice, you know. You look real fly. Your swag is real good. If you can. Duct yourself in a way right. If you wear the clothes, you got to wear them right. There's nothing wrong with those clothes. Those clothes don't impinge anything on you. The culture has changed. The music has changed. The food has changed. Do you know how these people live today in this culture? By going to fast food restaurants. They don't sit around at the table every day and eat a meal that's prepared on the stove or in the oven at home, the way that they did when they watched Our Miss Brooks and Father Knows Best and read the Archie comic books back in the day. They don't do things like that anymore. That was in the 50s and 60s and 70s. That's gone. Reagan is dead. Reaganomics is dead. And you got to get with the program. Get with the president that is no president. You know. Come on. Obama's getting ready to thrust your butts into another war over there. I don't hear nobody saying nothing about that. You know why I'm not saying anything about it? This is not what I'm concerned about. God didn't tell me to talk about whether we going to Syria. Who was it? I think Trinidad sent me a great email clip about some cops beating on some people's door trying to come in. They came in the house and the boy was wise enough to video it and to record it on his iPhone. It's just a wonderful thing that he did. It's telling you that we're living in a police state here. I used to tell my children when they grew up, whenever you see the policeman, you smile at them. They're there to help you. And Mr. Policeman is always, man, these fools they're hiring now are gangsters right off the street. These for anybody can be a cop. All you got to do is pass the drug test and know how to read. they give these fools a badge and a gun and some taser maze, and then when you speak against the department, they're going to send the Gestapo to your house and use fear tactics. Got the woman in her house praying in tongues almost. It's ridiculous. But that's the kind of a world we live in. Our rights as citizen has been taken away. You believe in the government? You believe in that crap yet? I don't believe in any of them. They can come in my house, shut down my website, put me in jail, incriminate me, and have me having sex with little boys and everything else, and put me away and take my dentures and have me looking like a nitwit out of my mind. And you'd say, I knew Pastor John was out of his mind from day one. You know what? You can know whatever you want to know. I know this. We are living in perilous times. And I'm going to tell you, this society of change somewhat has overwhelmed me, but the Bible brings me back. Therefore, I am the prisoner of my Lord. And he has implored me to walk in a manner worthy of the calling. What is the calling that he's talking about? See, that calling that he's talking about is the intention to which he called me for in 1967. You see what I'm talking about? It's not the calling that you get from a church. It's not the calling that you get from following a ministry. It has nothing to do with that. That's why I have tremendous difficulty. Here, you living like hell. Lived a bodacious life. Fathered children from various women over the years. Did unscrupulous things that I've never thought about doing as a Christian, and all of a sudden you're going to raise your head and say, God has looked at me and my character over all those years of demonstrations of foolishness and called me to want to be a preacher of the blessed word of God. Is that right? First question that I would ask a person that would say that, have you apologized to the people for the misery that you brought in their lives? Did you go back and tell absolutely every person that you possibly could that you know is alive, the ones that you've harmed and hurt, that you're sorry? Oh, I recall back in 1997 when they start flashing accusations against me. Yeah, that was an important phone call. And so I'm going to continue to do it. What I'm attempting to do in this webcast is I'm attempting to reach two groups of people. The group of people that listen to me, that are curious about how God works in someone's heart when that someone is living during difficult times. And the second group of individuals that I'm talking to, I am speaking with a group of individuals that are out of the evangelical movement and have seen exactly what I'm talking about take place right in front of them. I want you people to take your focus off of me and to primarily put your focus upon yourself and to ask yourself this question. What are you doing? What are you doing to poke a hole in the dark? See, what I do when I fellowship with these young men, I tell them everything about me, negative and positive. I tell them about my education. I tell them about the past life that I had being married. I make it perfectly clear that I'm not looking for another wife. I'm not looking to remarry. When they ask me questions about, well, what about your sexual drives and everything? I said, just as potent as anyone else. And so they said, well, do you fulfill that? I says, well, you answer this question. Have you seen me do anything unscrupulous in front of you in this house or around my house? No, that's all you need to know about me. You see, now what I am is I'm transparent. Why? Because number one, I don't have anything to fear from them. What did FDR say? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Right. I recall when I was telling you about it in 1997 when the church brought accusations against me and they said, will you apologize to these people that you have hurt? I was standing in front of the congregation at the pulpit, and I said, if I've offended anyone, no one corrected me. I said, if I have, please stand up, let me know, and I will humbly apologize to you. And I began to cry because I loved the people in the church that I pastored. I didn't know who I had hurt. I didn't know what the heck was going on. What did I do? Did I hug someone too long? What did I do? Did I share some kind of biblical counseling that was over the top. I'll tell you what it was. I was in an evangelical church that was not ready to be first century Christianity. Now you think about that. Think about that. The key to this webcast is first century Christianity. I ain't talking about this 20th century bull-s. That's what it is, bull-s. I just won't curse. I felt like saying it. When you talk about LA's popular preachers on the Oxygen Television Network, that's bull-s. That's what that is. And everybody involved in it, everybody that was ever associated with those men, all of that is a manure pile. All of it. Why is most of the church watching it? Birds of a feather. They be flocking together. I understand fully how that works. Now, since I do understand how that works, the only thing that I can suggest is that I'm going to stay as far as I can away from it. I don't even want to commentate on it again. You all know who these people are. Contact those people and boycott all the advertisements and everything else about that thing. But you know why you're not going to do that? I'm going to tell you why you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that because, in a sense, you kind of like love what you see. You see? And if you love what you see, you aren't going to speak against it. You know how it is when you get home and you want to look at something that's going to entertain you, right? To entertain you. And then you go there and you let that entertain you and you say, what's happened to the church? I want to know. Where are those young men, like that young man named John that I spoke to a year ago, that I just came in contact with a couple of days ago? Where are the young men that's going to step forward? Hey, put your name out there. See, since God has spoken to you in your hearts, are you willing to let God use you until he's through with you? Well, obviously, he's not finished with me. And it's not about, and let me share with some of you dudes that think that you got to be pure. This isn't about being a pure person. Because I know what evangelicalism teaches you. Well, you can't do ministry unless you're pure. I haven't met one yet. I got a man over there in Grace, don't even know when he got saved. Is that pure enough for you? Oh, man. Come on, man. I can tell you guys some stories. And you know what? I don't know what's happening in the black church these days. A friend of mine, he was a pastor. He called me. He called me and told me he's going to be preaching out here at some dude's church out here. And you should have heard the rest of our conversation. You would not believe that two pastors were talking. You really wouldn't. And I thought about that scripture that said, let no evil communication come out of your mouth. I've always been transparent. Whatever somebody wants to talk about with me, I will with them. But here's the point. If that telephone conversation was recorded and it came out, would I deny that I said that? I wouldn't deny that I said that. Because God told me in the Bible that he knows my thoughts are far off. That means before they even come into my head, he knows what they are. Well, I got somebody on the way over. I got my daughter on the way over to the house to show her daddy how to do this thing right on this iPhone, because she's one of the culprits trying to get me to get one, and I got one, and I don't even know how to use it. And thank you for coming to my website on this Saturday. Hope I have more to share with you. But for some of you naysayers out there that's wondering what's going on, nothing. This is the same John Coleman. He's still into the Word. He still loves God. He still believes in Jesus Christ, the righteous one. John Coleman is not the righteous one. And I know that God will give me retribution, punishment, damnation for anything that I'm doing against his cause and against his word and his way. I love God, the idea of God, the idea of his existence. But I am not connected with God through no church, because there's too many fallacies involved in that group of individuals. Trust me, take it from a pastor. MacArthur's been doing it for 40 years. I have too. And I've seen in the years so much ambiguity. I just got tired of it. You know what? I got tired of saying, well, no, you gotta be patient, you gotta be gentle, you gotta show tolerance with one another and love. No. That's not towards the people that know better. You leave those clowns right where they are, and you go on and get out there and you show that with the world. And then when they say, how can you live like this? Then you say, because of him that lives in me. You get it? Thank you so much for coming to the website. Yes, I do love you. God bless you. Have a great day, and whatever you do, stay in the Word.